Chapter 2. The First Spirit.
When Scrooge woke up, it was very dark. He heard a church bell strike and listened for the hour. But the bell went on from 6 to 7, and from 7 to 8, and up to 12. Then it stopped.
12? It was 2 when I went to bed. The clock is certainly wrong. Maybe ice is blocking its hands,
Scrooge thought.
It's impossible. I didn't sleep a whole day and another night. And it's not noon. Where's the sun?
He was worried and went to the window. He could only see that it was foggy and cold. No one was walking in the streets. He went to bed again and thought. He couldn't stop thinking.
Was it a dream or not?
Suddenly, he remembered Marley's sentence, "When the bell strikes one," and started to get worried. He listened hard. He was waiting for the next stroke. It took a long time.
"It's 1 o'clock,
cried Scrooge.
"And nothing has happened."
Lights flashed in the room and someone opened the curtains of his bed. Scrooge found himself face to face with a strange figure. It was like a child, but also like an old man. Its hair was white, but it had no wrinkles. Its arms and legs were delicate, muscular, and very long, but the figure was quite short. Its tunic was white, with a shiny belt that flashed. On his head there was a shiny light too.
"Are you the spirit I'm waiting for, sir?"
asked Scrooge.
"I am."
"Who and what are you?"
"I am the ghost of your Christmas past."
"Why are you here?"
Scrooge asked, curious and worried at the same time.
"For you," answered the ghost. "Now stand up and walk with me."
A hand of the ghost touched his heart. And soon Scrooge forgot about the cold, the bank book, and the house. He passed through the wall, and he found himself on an open country road. It was a clear, cold winter day, with snow on the ground.
"Good heavens!"
said a surprised Scrooge.
"I was a boy here."
Scrooge was soon in a thousand smells, thoughts, hopes, and joys from his past. They walked along the road to a little market town, and horses, boys, and farmers appeared. Everyone was shouting, "Merry Christmas!" happily through the air.
"They are only memories. They can't see us,"
explained the spirit. Scrooge recognized everyone, but why was he happy to see them? What was merry in Christmas to Scrooge?
"The school is not empty. A solitary child, forgotten by his friends, is still there,"
said the ghost.
"I know,"
answered Scrooge, and he started crying. They took a small road and soon saw a very large house of red bricks with a bell and stables. Nobody was there. They went inside and there was the same sense of melancholy. In a long, empty room, they saw a sad boy who was reading near a very small fire. Scrooge sat down next to him and cried to see himself young, all alone, and forgotten. He remembered that only books and his imagination were with him in those days.
"Poor boy,"
he said, and cried again. The ghost asked what the problem was, and Scrooge answered,
"I was thinking about the boy who wanted to sing me a carol yesterday. Why didn't I give him something?"
"Let's see another Christmas,"
the ghost smiled. Young Ebenezer became a little older. The room became a little darker and dirtier. But he was alone again. All the other boys were at home to spend their holidays. He wasn't reading now. He was walking up and down the room, looking angry and hopeless. The door opened, and a little girl came in.
"I'm here to bring you home, dear brother. Home with me. Dad's much kinder now. I took courage and asked him to let you come home forever. He said yes, so I'm here. All will be very happy this Christmas."
And the little girl ran to hug and kiss him and took him downstairs. He left without many words, saying goodbye to his horrible old school and its horrible, severe schoolmaster.
"She was so delicate, poor girl, but she had a big heart. I think she died quite young, and I think she had children,"
said the ghost.
"One, my nephew,"
Scrooge answered briefly, looking uneasy. In a moment, they were in the main street of a city full of people. It was evening, and it was Christmas time again. The ghost stopped in front of a warehouse door and asked Scrooge,
"Do you know it?"
"Of course,"
said Scrooge.
"I was an apprentice here."
He saw an old gentleman sitting behind a very high desk and cried with excitement.
"It's old Fezziwig. Bless him. It's Fezziwig alive again."
Old Fezziwig looked up at the clock. It was 7. He laughed and happily called,
"Ebenezer! Dick!"
Young Ebenezer, now a young man, came in with his fellow apprentice.
"That's me, and that's Dick Wilkins, my friend. Yes, there he is. He loved me so much."
"Poor Dick, dear, dear,"
Scrooge explained to the ghost. The old gentleman asked them to stop working as it was Christmas Eve, to close the door and clear the room because they needed space. The two young men ran to do it, and soon the warehouse was as clean, warm and bright as a ballroom. In a short time, a lot of people arrived. A musician, Mrs. Fezziwig and her daughters, and many neighbours and friends. They all came in and started dancing happily, clapping their hands. They went up and down the room, and the Fezziwigs were the first to have fun and dance. Then everybody ate and drank. And when it was time to go home, Mr. and Mrs. Fezziwig shook hands with everyone and wished them a Merry Christmas. They did the same to the two apprentices, and then went to bed. Scrooge was very excited. He looked like young Ebenezer now. He remembered everything. He enjoyed every moment of it, and nearly forgot about the ghost. It was looking at him intensely, and the light on its head was very bright.
"He didn't spend much for this small party. Why did people give him so much gratitude and love?"
"It isn't a question of money, Spirit,"
said Scrooge, speaking like young Ebenezer.
He hath the power to make us happy or unhappy, to make our job pleasant or unpleasant. His power was in his words and in his looks. In very small things, he gave us happiness.
He stopped when he felt the ghost's glance.
What's the matter? Asked the ghost.
Nothing, really, only...
answered Scrooge.
Why isn't my clerk here now? I would like to say something to him. That's all.
My time is nearly over. Quick,
said the spirit. And soon they were in front of an older Ebenezer. His face showed the first signs of his unhealthy passion. He was not alone, but was sitting next to a beautiful young girl in a black dress. There were tears in her eyes.
I'm not important to you. A new idol, money, has taken my place,
she said softly.
Why is it bad to try and become rich?
He asked.
Your nobler aspirations have disappeared one by one, and your new idol, profit, has taken possession of you. Am I wrong?
What then? I have not changed.
You were another man when we were both poor and happy to be poor. You have changed.
I was a boy,
he said impatiently.
You were not what you are. I have thought about it many times. I'm sure of it. I must let you go. You don't want a poor girl like me anymore. You choose everything on the basis of profit now. I will not be able to comfort you any more. With a sad heart, I must let you go. I hope you will be happy in the life you have chosen.
She left him and went away.
Spirit,
said Scrooge,
show me no more. Take me home. Why do you torture me?
One more, exclaimed the ghost.
They were in a small room full of comforts. A beautiful young woman was sitting with her mother, the girl from the previous scene, near the winter fire. They were surrounded by so many noisy and lively children that Scrooge couldn't count them. There was a knock at the door, and the father came in. They all ran happily to the father, said hello, looked into his pockets, jumped on his knees, hugged him round his neck, kissed him. What joy, what excitement was in the air! Then it was time to sleep, and one by one, they all went upstairs. And now Scrooge was very attentive, and was thinking that he could be in the same position as that man now, with a beautiful daughter and other children, and a wife to comfort him in the winter of his life.
You know,
said the man to his wife,
I saw an old friend of yours today, Mr. Scrooge. I passed his office window. There was a candle inside, and I saw him. They say his partner is dying. But he was there, alone, quite alone in the world, I believe.
Spirit,
said Scrooge in a low voice,
take me home. I can't bear it.
I told you that these are the things that have been. They are what they are. Do not blame me,
answered the ghost.
Leave me. Take me back.
While struggling with the very calm ghost, Scrooge observed that the light on its head was growing brighter, so he tried to cover it with his cap, pressing it down with all his strength. The cap covered the whole ghost, but could not hide the light. Scrooge realized that he was exhausted, and that he was in his bedroom again. He pushed the cap away and immediately fell into a deep sleep.